Jesus, in a section called John, "These things have I spoken unto you, and more is to come, and that the disciples have not yet learned anything of God himself, but that more teaching were to come that would describe God himself clearly. And there are also many other things," which this is a comment, it's not Jesus speaking. This is from John, this is in the Bible. "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the whole world could not contain the books that should be written. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction, that the man of God may perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. If you do not believe when I tell you things of this world, material things, how will you believe if I tell you of spiritual things?" There are many indications like this in the Bible. "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." Particularly it said here that the disciples have not yet learned anything of God himself, but more teaching were to come that would describe God himself clearly. But that teaching is not really found in the scriptures of the world hardly. Even in the Vedas, it is covered. Most people have an unclear understanding of the personality of God. We were discussing this morning how Vyasadeva was instructed by Nardamuni to make that clarification: who is the personality of Godhead? Who is the source of everything? Who is that supreme personality of God? Are we okay at the door? So this is pretty important topic. It's a very wonderful topic. You don't need to speculate. It's explained very clearly in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And as was mentioned just now, to describe about the personality of Godhead, the Srimad Bhagavatam describes very thoroughly, very wonderfully about the personality of Godhead. So I thought this evening, I'm looking for a book called Appreciating Vrindavan Dharma. I don't think we have it here. But we'll just mention a few things from the Krishna book. It's a Krishna book. How many of you have read this book, the Krishna book? This is volume one. Please hands up if you've read it.
Some of it.
Good. This is made a very important book to get, especially for the children. It was the first book I ever got. I got volume two. There were two volumes. I don't know this one. I guess there's two volumes still. Original ones, big size. They were much, much bigger than this. Almost twice the size of this. Huge book. Beautifully printed. Still some around. I don't know if we've got one here. But they were very big. Very much, much, much bigger than this. And big print, very easy to read. This is very small print, I can barely read it actually. Don't know why it's so small. But they were very big printed, very, very beautiful book. Beautiful book, it's because it's on very thick paper they printed here. It's only 300 pages long. So they squashed it into a small size. But that was really spread out, beautiful, lots of pictures. You remember those books, Jenny Crash, called?
Yeah, the pictures, I read the
is that right?
Yeah.
Amazing. I guess that's all they had left at that time. They didn't have the first volume. When they went to the temple to get the first volume, they didn't have it at that time. They got it shortly after, but they didn't have it when I first went. I bought the second volume in a second-hand bookshop off Charing Cross Road. It's one of those kind of occult-type bookshops down the lane there, you know? And it really stood out like a beacon. You know the beacons? They have these beacons which in the ocean to guide the ships. It was just like a beacon. Beautiful, big, silver, bright, shiny silver. Not, this is like matte. This was shiny, glossy, with Krishna, big red bold letterings. Beautiful. Volume 2 is a picture of Nathdwara, wasn't it? It was there. Nathdwara, I think. And it was just, I couldn't resist it. I didn't know, I never knew what it was. It was just so attractive. I didn't know how much it cost. I gave them the money and I took it. And I didn't realize it was volume two. And I saw it was volume two. So then I determined to find out how to get volume one. And then I went to the temple to try to get volume one, but they didn't have it. So anyway, I just started to read. Then later on I got volume one. And it was amazing. I used to read every night Krishna books. I was living at home with mum and dad, working. But first I was working on a farm, then I moved back home with mum and dad, and I was reading every night before going to bed. Fantastic thing to do before you go to bed. Read Krishna book. It was always the standard in our Krishna society in ISKCON to read the Krishna book before going to bed. Did you hear that, Veda? Gaur, you remember that thing?
Right.
Yeah. Krishna book, hot milk. It used to be hot milk and Krishna book. And we'd sit around reading the Krishna book with a cup of hot, sweet milk. And it was such a nice way to end the day. You know, oftentimes when you dream at night, you know, the things that are on your mind before you go to sleep oftentimes manifest, not always of course, but they often manifest in dreams at night. You know, so you have a very, if you read the Krishna book at night, you know, it's a possibility you're in, you know, the stories will come to you in your, if you do dream, or you remember your dreams, let's say, in your dreams. And it's a very wonderful, it's a purification, it's so nice, a marvelous way to end the day by reading Krishna, especially when you have children. You know, used to be the standard with all Hindu families. Do any of you still do that before the children go to bed? Read them some stories about Krishna? Who does it? Nobody? Come on. Have mercy on your children. Be kind to them.
My in that online system, we started the evening program, 9 to 9:30, reading Krishna book.
Alright, just see. This is the standard. Prabhupada gave us this Krishna book. This Krishna book is so wonderful. I should have prepared, I just thought from during the arc, I didn't know it was coming. So just during the arc, I just thought, that's like a Krishna book tonight. Such an important book. Prabhupada one time, he was in his room, and he said, when the body was there, he said, this Krishna book, Prabhupada was reading his own Krishna book, he said, this Krishna book is so wonderful. It is so wonderful. Now can you imagine, Prabhupada wrote it, and he's talking to someone there, this book is very, most wonderful book. You think this man is very vain. He's very proud. He's written his book and he's telling you it's a very wonderful book. Now people may do that, but you know that they're very vain and proud and, you know, not very humble. But Prabhupada said, you know why this book, Krishna book, is wonderful? You know why it's wonderful? The devotee said, because you wrote it, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, no, I didn't write it. Krishna wrote it. Krishna wrote it. I'm just the instrument, like a pen. Krishna wrote this book. That's why it's wonderful. All Prabhupada's exorcist. This is a summary of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Summary study. It's not say a summary, it's a comment. It's written in story form. Practically everything's there actually, not a summary. Everything's there. But it's written in a story form, so we can easily read it with, you know, nice purple commentary sometimes by Prabhupada. It's so nice to read. Just forget the newspaper. I remember in Malaysia when I first went, there was this one devotee, he'd just been initiated, and I was asking him if he was reading, because he had no time to read Prabhupada's books. So I said, well, surely you can find some time in the day. What about just before you go to bed? Why not read Krishna book? He said, no, I can't. He said, well, I said, why not? He said, he said, the only way I can go to sleep is if I read the newspaper before I go to bed. I thought, oh my goodness. What a shame. You know, we read all these things. We can put no time aside for Krishna book. We're missing out. This Krishna book is said to be Oshadi. In fact, Prabhupada starts the book, the famous verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This verse was spoken for a Chitmaraj, let's put this first. Actually, it's right here in the front, yeah. Right in the front of the 10th canto. Nivritarshi rupa diyamanad Bhavoshri chotramano viramad Kogotama shloka gunana vadad Pumandara jetamu mamushubnat. This is spoken by Parikshit Maharaj right at the beginning of the 10th canto. This is the subject matter of Krishna, topics concerning Krishna. Should be heard from those who are never to Krishna, those who have no material desire, those who have no more interest in the topics of this world. And when we hear from them, then we also become attracted It acts just like Bhava Oshadi. Bhava refers to Bhava Rog, the ocean of birth and death. Oshadi is like medicine. So it's the medicine to cure us from, or to release us from, the ocean of birth and death. And this actually controls the mind, pacifies, purifies our minds. That topic, this topic, these beautiful, beautiful verses describing the personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of such beautiful verses. And just by oral reception, hearing these beautiful descriptions of Krishna, without even knowing it, it's almost imperceptible, the heart becomes pacified, cleansed, and happy, satisfied. If we hear from the vegetarian, those who are actually pure, those who heart are not motivated by some material thing. So we may still be, we're not Nivedita Krishna, our hearts are full of so many vrittas in our hearts, so many material thoughts are in our hearts. But when we hear with someone who has no such thoughts, no vrittas in their heart, when we hear from them, their hearts are clean, then our hearts can also become clean if we hear from them. So Prabhupada gave us this Krishna. Even though we're not qualified, he wanted us to distribute these books everywhere. The first book I ever distributed was a Krishna book also. First book. First that we've been doing back to Godhead. Then the Krishna books came, I remember. Just before we joined the temple in Orissa, I did two. The Krishna books had arrived in London. Maybe the second shipment had arrived. The first were already finished. And the second shipment came. And we were second day on Sankirtan. And I joined on a Saturday. And then Sunday, I had to join on Saturday because that's the only day I could get a lift up to the temple. So I joined on a Saturday, and on the Sunday they had me out on book distribution with Krishna books, higher-bound Krishna books, door to door, in Earl's Court. And the first, one of the first doors I knocked on, we were going in these apartment blocks, not apartment blocks, but places where there were apartments, didn't have apartment blocks, just these three-story kind of places. And we went in and knocked on the door, and the man came out, and he said, "What is this?" I said, "This is..." I didn't know what to say. I had no idea what to say. I just said, this is a book about Krishna. And he said, "Krishna?" He said, "Let me look at it." He said, "How much is it?" I said, "Something about it." And he said, "All right, here you go." And that was it. He just took the book, said, "Thank you very much," and closed the door. I just thought, wow, this is easy. This isn't difficult. I thought this was impossible. And then that was the only book I ever sold. During that period, the next week, 2 weeks, whatever it was, we were all going out trying to sell Krishna. I didn't sell one more book after that. That was the only one. And most of the devotees didn't sell any either. It was rare to sell a book. Very rare. We were four or five of us would go all day and not one book between us. We didn't mind. We were happy just carrying these Krishna books around with us and just showing them to people. And trying to think of something to say about Krishna. It was very wonderful. We weren't disheartened. We had no concept of, God, I have to do a good score today. We weren't thinking like that. We were just happy to have this opportunity to show these Krishna books. Then we would read the books and talk about the books, read the stories on the underground. Then we would read Krishna book, and then in the kitchen we'd talk about Krishna book. It was really a lot of Krishna katha. We had no realization, really, but we were keen to hear about Krishna. This keenness to hear about Krishna, this beginning of this eagerness to hear about Krishna. It's this something, how the secret is to hear. The secret is to hear. These books are to be heard. We should hear. We should always hear. Hear and chant. We should always hear and chant the topics of Krishna Katha. This is the panacea. The panacea. Tabakatamritam taptajivanam. Kavaviritam. This is the cure for all the ills of this age. Tabakatamritam taptajivanam. Kavaviritam kamashapaham. It releases us of the distresses in this age. Not in this age, in the material world. Those who are in a distressed condition, as material, we relieve by hearing these wonderful topics describing the personality of God, these topics about Krishna. It's the panacea, the relief. There's no other relief. Reading the newspaper is not going to give you relief. It's like being a drug addict. It's no different. You get a little momentary, and then it's over. Watching the TV is not going to give relief. Be honest, even having families, it's only a time-serving program so far, and it goes so far. Can't keep it. There's no relief in this world. No material thing will give us relief. Only like a temporary, it's like a painkiller for a few moments, that's all. The real relief is when we hear transcendental subject matter concerning the personality of Godhead. This is the medicine to relieve us, cure us. So let's discuss a little bit tonight. Let's see where we are. Not anywhere particularly. You have to read this book very carefully and you will see how wonderful it is. Bhagavad was the first book to stir a Krishna book. When they first came out, it was at the Rathiatra in San Francisco. When was that? 1970, I think. Yeah, the Rathiatra in San Francisco. One big box of Krishna books came, and all the devotees were very excited. I don't know how many books, maybe 20 books were in there. They were very, very excited. Prabhupada came, brought them to Prabhupada, the Rathiatra. Prabhupada picked them up right in the Rathiatra in front of all the public. He had these books up, and he started to talk about the book, and he offered them for sale. And all 20 went just like that. The public just snapped them up. Just like that, I don't know what they paid. There's none left for the devotees. They were, and then walking. So let's see. We'll have a little bhajan, and then we'll talk. Has everybody got a copy at home of this Krishna book? Anyone doesn't have? You have? You have one? You don't have one, right? Anyone else don't have one? You don't have one? Why don't you take one home with you? They have them here. There's copies at the back here. How much are they? What's the cost of the Krishna book?
£4?
£4. £4 or £5. Not very much. Is that for two books or one book?
One book.
There are two books in the set.
Yeah.
So it's £8 for two?
£8 or £10
for two books. There's two volumes. They're fantastic books. Have we got them here?
Yes.
Can you bring some? Bring
them.
Yeah, well, there's some up on the shelf, but there's only volume one. These books are, I mean, I live with these books. I mean, yeah, this Krishna book was our liking, Solomon and John. It was the only big book we had, actually. We never had a big bag of a Gita in those days. It came a bit later. We had a small one, small purple one, big one. This Krishna book was really something. I mean, it was so nice, especially for our kids. It's a fantastic thing to read to the children at night. It's really wonderful. Okay, all please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 This is an introduction. It's a wonderful introduction. This book, Krishna, is filled with Krishna Katha. It will appeal equally to the liberated souls and persons who are trying to be liberated, as well as material conditioned souls. This is so wonderful. It is applicable. Maharaj Brikshi said, he says it's applicable to every human being, whatever condition of life is in. Surely everyone will appreciate this book to the highest magnitude. Maharaj, however, warned that persons who are simply engaged in killing animals, killing themselves, may not be attracted to Krishna Katha. So to really become attracted, they may also become attracted, even though they're still conditioned to killing animals or meat eating or whatever it is. They may still become attracted. I know people who are. There's some deconditioning there. It's just not a long time we're in New Zealand. We're going on book distribution door to door. Bring them over here. Bring them here. Put them down here. That's wonderful. Here we have three sets.
There's more as well.
Okay, there are plenty more if you want. Even if you've got one, you can also take one as a gift for your friends. It's a fantastic gift. Such the best gift, the highest welfare you can give, is to give Krishna book. Such a wonderful thing to give. If you haven't got a set, please get one. This is for your eternal benefit, especially for the family. Such wonderful books. So as we were going door to door and we were on the street, We were in Pakuranga, you know Pakuranga? Mm. You know it very well. We were in some shops over there. Anyway, we were going to one shop there. I was going, we were going, two of us were going. I was with Alana, I don't know if you know. We were going together, this was in the 80s. And we were going to New Zealand, even in the 80s, cruising. And we've gone on book distribution. So we had different types of books, but mainly we were approaching book, people with a cookbook, you know, it's a little easier to, especially in New Zealand, Australia, they'll injure it, they're not to throw for them. New Zealand's a bit bad, but more philosophical. So we'd introduce it. So we came, let me give other books. So we came to this, I came to this one shop, on one, he was on one side, I was on the other. Came to this one shop, it was a butcher's shop, you know. And inside the shop there was this big, happy, rotund looking butcher, big pink face, you know. Chubby guy, looked a bit like some of the creatures that he was that were in there. Little pig looking. So I thought, what am I going to do? Should I give him a chance? No, he won't take a book. Forget it. No, nothing ventured, nothing gained. He's a jiva. He doesn't know what he's doing. Give it a try. Maybe Krishna will have mercy on him. So I walked in and he was just about serving someone with some chocolate. Chop! And he picked it up and said, hey! And I held it out towards me. Want some chop? He said like this, you know. And no. What do you want then? He laughed after it. He said, well, actually, I was wondering if you'd be interested in a book. A book? Me? I'm not interested in books. What type of book you got? It was a vegetarian cookbook, and he laughed his head off. He was a friendly guy, you know. He was innocent in that sense, you know. He wasn't at all offensive or anything. Normally. And he was friendly. He said, me? Are you joking? A vegetarian cookbook? Pull the other leg. You know, he was like, he was jovial. And I said, well, you know, maybe you have a family? He said, yeah. I said, well, doesn't your wife sometimes she has to cook vegetables for you? I mean, you know, it's got a lot of nice vegetarian dishes here. You can accompany your meat with these, you know. And he started saying, well, really? He said, well, has it got that recipe in there? Has it got the recipe? And I said, I don't know what recipe I have. Which one do you mean? He said, the pie recipe. Which pie are you talking about? He said, the one you sell in a restaurant in Queen Street. That triangle of pie that you sell down there. Has it got that one in there? And I realized he meant samosa. Okay, and he said, every time I go down Queen Street, which isn't very often, he said, I'd call in your restaurant and buy all of them pies. He said, I love them pies. Has it got that one in there? I looked it up, samosa, there it was. So he said, all right, how much is it? I don't know what it was, $20 or something. He just pulled out 50 and gave me 50 like that. So you take this, if it's got that recipe, I want it. I'll get my wife to cook that at home. And then I gave him a bag of eggs and a bunch of other books as well. You know, he was happy and he's, you know. You never know. Krishna has his plans, you know. Last person to accept him, but you know. No one is, everyone is a little, even though they may be in that category of killing animals and meat eating and so on, doesn't mean that they're still as possible. This is the wonder of Krishna book. It's such a wonderful thing. And we also were totally unqualified, but somehow it was attractive. Imagine, we're reading the most intimate literature that's practically available. And Prabhupada has made it possible that we can actually read it. In a way that we'll actually be able to enter into it to some degree, at least. So let's see. The first topic, of course, is the in this great literature, is the setting of scenes, the appearance of the Lord. It's a long story. We're not going to delve in that. And how the Lord then appeared in this world. Where did he appear? Okay, come on, here's a little bit of a Krishna book quiz. Where did Krishna appear? We're talking about this particular advent. Where did he appear? In Leicester? No? Where did he appear?
In
Mathura. Whereabouts in Mathura?
In the prison.
In the prison cell of who?
Kamsa.
See, he was born, he was a criminal even at birth. You see what an indication it was. He was born in a prison cell. Obviously due to the fact that he's number one criminal, huh? Krishna's a big criminal, a big thief. He's a big thief, huh? He kills his own relatives, he steals and plunders, he lies. What doesn't he do? He takes other people's wives. What a personality we're dealing with here. and you call him God? What a person is this? That's born in a prison, rightfully so. Isn't it? No? You say no. I'm a devil's advocate here. Born in a prison. Anything more about that? Any more comments? Who was his mum and dad?
When he was born, he had four arms.
Four arms? Even easier to steal things. He got more arms to pinch things and give problems to people, huh? Four arms. There's nothing uncommon. What's unusual about that? You see it all over the place, don't you? People walking around with four arms. Messages? Four-armed babies? No four-armed babies? No? Not this four. Not forearm. Not the forearm. Four arms. Not forearm. Four arms. Krishna had four arms. What else did he have?
Crown?
Yeah, crown. I mean, that must have been very uncomfortable for mum. Imagine a kid coming out with crowns and jewels and all sorts of things on his body. And four arms. I mean, she must have been quite shocked. There's this, you know. Can you imagine a baby coming out head first with a crown? That would be pretty painful, I'd imagine. But no ordinary crown. No, it wasn't like that. Krishna's not born quite like that. Is he? He's manifested out of the womb. He was in the womb, this is his special pastime. But he's not born like an ordinary child, although he behaves like that. He was born with four arms, crown, fully decorated, beautiful blackish hair, acacia. He was so gorgeous. Oh, Narayan. He was in the Vasudev form. Then he transformed himself, because otherwise his danger would be there. He was behaving like that. There was no real danger, but for the pastime. Because then everyone was thinking, this is Vishnu, the enemy of Kamsa. So he transformed himself into two-armed form. So who was his mum and dad? Come on, kids. Who's Krishna's mum? Come on, kids. Who knows? Any of you boys know? Do you know, young lady? Who's Krishna's mummy? Huh? Hmm? He accepts devotees as his mother and father because to accept their service. He doesn't really. In one sense, he's the father of everyone. But he accepts this devotion from his devotees. Who is his mum and dad? Who knows? Vasudev and Devaki. Vasudev is the name of Krishna, he's the son of Vasudev. Devaki Nandan, son of Devaki. Devaki and Vasudev. They were his mother and father. That's a long story. How they got that opportunity. They were the mother and father of Vasudev Krishna. Now, what did Vasudev do after the birth of Krishna? What did he do? All this is mentioned. Explain the detail of Krishna.
Krishna spoke to Vasudev for about an hour.
Oh yeah, they spoke. But after the next major...
He gave away in his mind thousands of cows to grass.
So many things took place there in that prison. What happened then when all the events in the prison were finished? What took place then? What did Vasudev do?
He
took Krishna. Yoga Maya, the internal energy of Krishna, came into place. Came on the scene and caused all the guards in the prison to go into a deep sleep. All the chains came undone, the doors opened, there was a great storm so no one could hear anything. Vasudev took Devi Krishna and just walked out of the prison, carried him to the Jamuna. The Jamuna separated because it was a rough night, it was a storm. And Vasudev carried Krishna across the Jamuna to where to? Where did he take him? Gokul to Mahala. Why did he take him there? Somebody else. Obviously you read it. Somebody else. Come on. Anyone else remember? Read it. Why did he go to Gokul? Why? Why did he not come to Leicester? Why didn't he come to Leicester? No, he went to Gokul. Why? Anybody know? What was his plan? Come on. I'm sure you know. You've got to read this Krishna book to see. Even you got it, we don't need it, we don't. This is what we should be remembering. Unfortunately, our mind is full of all other things. This is what we have to try to fill our minds with. Topics concerning Krishna. Yada vijasi nāyata kāma kvanti nivandana sindanti kovidas tasya kova kuya katārati. Topics concerning Krishna will cut the knot of attachment in this world. This is the only way the knot can be cut. Other things may improve it, loosen it, change it, but this will cut the knot of karma grant in abundance. Tindanti kovidas tasya. Tindanti will cut that knot of karma. Karma grant in the knot of karma. Intelligent persons, by hearing, remembering the personality of God, release themselves from the bondage of this world, birth and death. So why did he go to Gokul? Hands up, anyone knows. You know.
Because there were his other parents, devotee parents, who
yes.
whom he was attracted, Krishna was attracted to.
Yes. So what were their names? What were their names? Nanda and Yashoda. You young men are not knowing these things, or are you shy?
They're just shy, they don't know.
Andy, do you know this? I have to point it out now. I don't know if you know. Don't be shy. We're all in the same boat here. Nanda and Yashoda. Now, here's a secret. This is explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, commenting on this pastime. And Prabhupada quotes it in his commentary in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, that actually Krishna was actually born of Nanda and Yasoda, not of Devaki and Vasudeva. The Krishna who we hear about born in Mathura is the Vasudeva Krishna, the four-armed form, not the form of Krishna in Vrindavan. This is the Vasudeva Krishna, the form of Krishna outside of Vrindavan. That form of Krishna in Vrindavan is the son of Yasoda, Yasoda Nanda, Shama Sundar. He is two-armed. So when Vasudeva brought the other son, Vasudeva, and took him, and at that time there was a storm, Mother Yasoda had just given birth. Now she was so tired, everyone was sleeping, just the pregnancy had been going on a long time. Suddenly she gave birth that moment. And no one was around, nobody knew what she gave birth to. She gave birth to twins. Usually you only hear about the girl, the baby girl, Durga. But actually she gave birth to twins, a boy and a girl. But she didn't know. So when Vasudeva came, he took the girl and put the baby boy down. And the two babies merged into one. They became one child. So what happens is, whenever demons come in on this plane, this Bhoma Vrindavan, this Gokul Vrindavan, whenever demons come with the intention of disturbing Krishna and Vrindavan, Krishna has nothing to do with it. Nothing whatsoever. It's simply through the ordinance of Krishna, Vasudeva kills the demons. It's not the Vrindavan Krishna. He is only absorbed in Parichanaya Sadhana. He's only absorbed in playing and enjoying with his devotees. The Vinashya Shadushkita is done by Vasudeva Krishna. He who is born of Vasudeva and Devaki. So that's just on this plane. There is no Vasudeva Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. No such need or manifestation. This particular mood is different. That Krishna is in Dwarka, the Krishna of Mathura, is the Vasudeva Krishna, not the Vrindavan Krishna. Vrindavan Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. And you may know when Akura, much later on, after many years, cancer. Dan knew what was going on. Eventually Nagamuni informed him of the whole situation. And then he sent Krura to try to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. So when Krishna and Balaram were being taken by Krura, the long pastime, they when they came to the particular spot on the river Jamuna, and Krura stopped to go there to take a bath. When he looked in the river, what did he see? No. I'll tell you that in a minute. It's another interesting mystical story of Kaliya. What did he see in the river? You can tell us. What did he see? What is your name?
Chaitanya Nitai.
Chaitanya Nitai. What a nice name. Chaitanya Nitai. What did Akura see in the river?
I don't remember.
Oh!
English.
Are you a Brahmana?
No?
Yes? Oh. Didn't see a fish, someone said a fish. A boat, a fish, a branch floating down. No, who remembers what he saw?
Krishna.
What form of Krishna?
No.
Yes. He saw the forearm form of Krishna lying on a mantashesh. He saw Krishna Balaram in this form. Then he looked back in the chariot and saw the two-arm forms. He was bewildered. At that point, although for the story for the pastime that we hear, of course, Krishna and Balaram were taken off, but Krishna and Balaram didn't really leave. It was the Vasudeva form of Krishna who went on. Balaram was no longer mystical, we're still investigating them. But the Krishna form, it was the Vasudeva Krishna form who goes on. He looks and appears for the sake of the pastime with two arms. Sometimes he manifests four. In many of the pastimes you see, Poem Draka has four arms. He's taken on that form of imitating Krishna. So it's the Vasudeva form. Actually, Krishna and Balaram never leave Vrindavan. They're eternal in Vrindavan. So this is one secret. Another secret about them not leaving Vrindavan. Because Krishna expands himself unlimitedly to reciprocate. The mood between Vasudeva and Devi, he was completely different to the mood between Nanda and Yasoda. Totally different. A different class altogether. There was reverence, all reverence mixed in with Vasudeva and Devaki. It was more the path of Vaidhi, which led to their receiving this merciful opportunity. Whereas the path of Nanda and Yasoda is right up completely. No, just total absorption and love. No restrictions whatsoever. Higher level, higher level, deeper level. Yeah. Are you having to move? Your body is needing to move. Go on your mat, off the chair. Come on. Yeah. Your legs are still not that bad. Nowadays. The youngsters, then. Not as fit as we used to be, I don't think.
Well,
you're good, Charles, but you have an excuse. Your body is probably over. I don't want to embarrass you, but you're certainly more than 40.
Yeah.
50?
I was 40 yesterday.
Yesterday? You're getting older. Yes, good guess, wasn't it? More than 40. So you go look after your health. Yeah, your age especially. You've got to be careful and look after your health. The youngsters are not getting perhaps enough good food, good exercise, too much television, too much computer. I hope you don't encourage this too much. All this nasty stuff, you know, mobile phones, computers, televisions. You've got to use it. The children, unfortunately, no, they don't get enough proper natural. Krishna is full of beautiful, wonderful, natural play. Krishna always playing when he was a kid, in the forest, on the river, never stopping playing games like we used to do. Every kid dreams of it. They don't get the chance now. There's nothing much left to do. There's no park. Even the park I went to today, there's nothing there. In one sense, it's just a few trees and a big green open area. All you can do is play cricket or walk around. Nothing else much there. There's no excitement there. We used to build dens, underground dens, tree houses. We used to go, swings across the river. We used to do all these things when we were kids. It was real fun. is to have fun in, with nature. It's such fun. And, you know, it's beautiful. Krishna looks full of it. Okay, now we'll go back to Krishna book. Now, if you haven't got the Krishna book, here they are. So I know you're going to hear your set. Come and take it. And who else is coming? Who else is coming? Come on. Here's your set. You got one. Who hasn't got one? Someone else put their hand up. Did they run away? They escaped. They escaped without their set of Krishna books. It was too slow. Anyway, please get one for your friends if you haven't got one. Advaita, or you can see Advaita if you want.
Yeah.
Actually, given that. $8,000 or $10,000. So, when these demons would come to Vrindavan, they never really enter into Vrindavan as such. On the surface, just like we're also, I'm a demon. When I go to Vrindavan, I only walk on the surface, I don't really go into Vrindavan. We walk on the surface, and what do we see? We only see the surface, you know, broken buildings, dust and dirt, thorn bushes, grunting pigs, you know, monkeys that pinch everything that we've got. You know, that's what we see. Hot, heat, crowded cars, horns blowing, you know, people hassling us. You know, with people with beads in their mouths, you know, tea in their hands. You know, this is what we see. We don't see Vrindavan. We're on the surface. We get a little blessing, the mercy of Vrindavan is coming up. And as our hearts become purified through chanting and hearing, especially kirtan, then maybe Vrindavan starts to, you know, we start to feel a little bit different. We don't just see on the surface with these relative perception of our senses. When we hear from those who really know Vrindavan, we can understand a little bit about Vrindavan. At least we can think about it. Because we have dirty eyes, we see all these things. On the surface only. To enter into Vrindavan is another thing that we have. Prabhupada is giving us a chance here to enter into Vrindavan. Demons cannot enter into Vrindavan. Because demons, they're only on the surface. They don't really enter into Vrindavan at all. Just like on the surface only. So Krishna comes to the surface in Vasudeva form. Appears that they can be seen by the residents of Vrindavan, at least those who are coming into Krishna's pastimes, they see these demons because it helps them to take shelter of Krishna. The eternal associates of Krishna don't generally have anything to do with this. These are devotees who are coming into the Krishna's pastimes, they see these demons and it helps them to take full shelter of Krishna. So Krishna in his Vasudeva form deals with these demons one after another. Now there are exceptions to this, you could say. And the first one is probably, could be seen as a bit of an exception. And what was his name, or her name? Who was the first demon? Putana. Putana. Yes, the Putana witch. Now she came, what did she look like when she came into Gokul? Did she look like a witch, huh?
Goddess of Fortune.
She looked so much like the Goddess of Fortune. Everyone thought it was the Goddess of Fortune. Come to honor the birth of Krishna, baby Krishna. So immediately Mother Yasoda and her nurses, they were very pleased, thinking the Goddess of Fortune has personally come into our village to honor the appearance of our beautiful boy, Krishna. So they gave the baby Krishna to Putana. What did Putana do? Putana was going all around. She didn't know this was God or Krishna at first. She was killing all the babies. She'd been given the instruction by Kamsa, because Kamsa had been told that the child who was going to kill you, you fool Kamsa, because Kamsa was trying to kill that baby girl. He was so angry at that, so he brought the baby girl back and he tried to kill the girl when he found out that the child wasn't born. And then the child flew up into the sky and manifested his form as Durga Devi, the worshipper of the deity of Kamsa. And Kamsa went, my God, this is my deity. And then the voice came, you fool, Kamsa. You fool. The child who was to kill you was already born elsewhere. What's this? Even the demigods are telling lies these days, because previously they were told that the eighth child of David, he was going to be the death of him. So, we were bewildered. Anyway, he didn't want to do it. So, he sent demons left, right, and center to kill all the babies born recently. So, this Putana was going everywhere. She was an ordinary demon. But he had a whole court of demons, and they were mystics, you know, they were all magicians, mystics, yoginis, and so on. What could she do? What was her speciality? What was her speciality?
Big poison.
Yeah, well, a speciality. She could change her form as she liked. She could turn into a beautiful form, ugly form, big form, small form. She could do so many things. She had this, what is this, lagima? Lagima? And anima, and then different cities where you can get big and small and so on. And she had this, these mystic potencies. So she could convert herself into a beautiful woman. And she would go into the houses where newborn babies were. And what would she do? Yes, young man. She would kill them. How she would kill them?
With a
poison. Poison where?
On
her
breast.
Yeah, good boy. Well done. She had her poison on her breast, just like you all know, and babies, they take the mother's breast milk. So she had smeared her breast on her, and poison on her breast. Deadly poison. What is the most deadly poison? Cyanide or? Cyanide is the most deadly poison? I heard Prabhupada talking a little bit about cyanide. He was saying, no one knows what the taste of cyanide is. Because as soon as you touch it, you're dead. As soon as you put some on your tongue, you die. No one's ever lived to describe what it tastes like. Don't try it. I don't know if it's available. It's deadly poison. I don't know what she put on her breast, but deadly poison. So she was going on killing babies. Mystic, she could just... So she came into the Krishna was, and she saw that baby. She thought, what a bag of baby is this? Her mind was split. The baby was so beautiful. At the same time, she didn't know what to think. She was attracted to the baby. At the same time, there was that desire to kill the baby. There was mixed emotions came to her mind. She didn't know what it was. Because in her previous lifetime, you know what happened, don't you? So you said, why she's the exception. She's not like the other demons. She's a very special demon. You know when Krishna appeared as a little boy? You remember that story? When Bali Maharaj had conquered the universe and the demigods prayed to Krishna to save them. So Krishna came as Vamanadev, small boy, and pulled back all the universe, right? When the little Brahmin boy Vamanadev first appeared there, was it the sister or
the daughter?
It says different things in different Puranas, actually. Sometimes it says a daughter, something. Different Puranas it describes different. But whatever, let's keep your sister to the daughter for your sake, okay? Bali's daughter fell in love with that little boy. She was so attractive, he was so beautiful. She was thinking, if only I could have him as my son. What a beautiful boy I've never seen. I want him as my son. But then when he cheated Bali Maharaj, the father or brother or whatever it was, she became furious with him. She wanted to kill him. So the two emotions were there. So then she took birth as Putana. So she could experience these two emotions in her relationship with Krishna. And Krishna fulfilled all of her desires. So she tried. She picked up the baby and Krishna closed her eyes because the nurse became like a nurse. It's like the mother. Closed her eyes. He's a woman, and he had to kill her. There are different descriptions of why he closed his eyes. And he gave her very peacefully. She picked up the beautiful baby. She could feel that this baby was her death, even though she picked him up. There was something about this baby. He was no ordinary baby. She put in, and oh, my beautiful boy, please, my beautiful boy, suck my breast. So she put the baby to her breast, and Krishna happily took the breast and sucked, and sucked, and sucked. Sucked and sucked and sucked, and the poison all came out, and the milk all came out, and then the blood started to come out, and the poor Putana was becoming completely dehydrated. There was nothing left. All the liquids were coming out of her body, and finally her life air started to and she started to scream, "Let go, let go, leave me alone." Where was it all going? This little baby was just sucking everything out of him. Leave me alone! Let go, will you? And Krishna just kept sucking her, and she was gone. And so, well, at that point, she assumed an enormous form just at that moment. Huge demoness, miles long! Can you imagine? What would you think if this happened to your baby? I mean, suddenly there's this 12-mile-long demon lying there in front of you. Of your baby high up there on the top of like a mountain on top of the breast playing around up there with the nipple. Can you imagine how Mother Yasoda felt? Inconceivable. But Krishna was happy. He was very happy. She was liberated. She went back to God and she became a nurse in Krishna's pastimes. He fulfilled all her desires. And Krishna is so wonderful. Even if you come as a demon, he delivers you. Even if you approach somehow or another approach Krishna. So wonderful. There's so many wonderful pastimes. I'd like to tell so many. Now all these pastimes are also very interesting, because by hearing each of these pastimes one by one, even without our knowledge, they destroy anarthas. You know what anartha is? What's an anartha? Come on, you want to say this, Brahman? What's anartha?
Sinful, which is filled in the heart.
Dirty, unnecessary desires in the heart. Desires which are not required. Material. Unnecessary. You do have to, of course, think of certain things. You have to maintain your family. So desires which are needed for that, you have to work. Desires which are needed for that, desires which are needed for maintenance, are required. You have to be there. Desires for your spiritual form, and they have to be there to nourish your family. And so on is necessary. But unnecessary thoughts, useless thoughts, lusty thoughts, greedy thoughts, envious thoughts, all sorts of things like that, not. So these pastimes kill these rivers and artists if we hear them again and again, especially. Heart is like a mountain of sin. He said that hearing these pastimes, the Lord acts just like that thunderbolt of Indra. Cracks that mountain of sin. Smashes it. Therefore, Prabhupada says, we have to hear about Krishna from him over and over and over again to break down this hard-hearted heart. So like that, when you hear these pastimes, this first one, pastime, it kills the, it's a little different in a sense, there are many aspects to it, but Kuchina represents the false guru, the misleading guru, right from the moment the child is born. Ichi ichi ku, we love you, you're your body, enjoy yourself, yes, this is you, this is me, and you're mine, and I'm yours. Immediately the child gets on the body concept of life, at school he was taught the same thing. Everyone's taught the same thing. You are your body, enjoy yourself, you're my child, and so on. These illusions are immediately taught. This is represented by Putana, the false guru, who, the newborn child, immediately is put into illusion. Immediately. And on the spiritual path, usually persons who are new to the spiritual path get easily misled by, charlatans and false gurus, etc. So there's Putana. So the killing of Putana protects one from this tendency to be misled. I know we have to finish short. We'll finish in 5 or 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Don't want to hold everybody. Now you're busy people. Tomorrow's Saturday. You're working tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Tell me when you want me to finish. So it's a very interesting pastime. Read them all in the Krishna. If you want to find out more, you can also read the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, the commentaries there, give more insight into these pastimes. And there are the commentaries of Vishnu, Chakravarti, Thakur, and so on. More insight. Just like, for instance, another one of my favorite pastimes on this side. See, before we can approach the intimate pastimes of Goloka Vrindavan, the pastimes regarding Krishna and his intimate pastimes, we have to get rid of all these anarchists. In other words, we have to kill all these demons. These demons who are blocking, you can say, our entrance into the internal pastimes of Krishna. These are on the surface, they're not internal. They don't exist in the transcendental realm. Only rumors of it, but not actually, these things don't. They only take place on Boma Vrindavan on the surface. So they kill our anarthas. So we have to kill our anarthas before we can understand anything about Krishna's internal lila with the gopis, etc. So by hearing about the killing of demons, preparing the way so we can enter into Krishna's lila. Just like every one of them represents a different anarcha, especially when you move on. Trinivata, who's the next demon? Trinivata, the next one after Trinivata. No, the next one after Putana is who? There's one before Trinivata. Who knows the names? Mm-hmm. That's Trinivata. There was one before Trinivata. Trinivata was a wind demon. The whirlwind demon. If I had this book called Appreciating Vrindavan Dham, we could go through all the anarchas. I can't remember most of them. Kav is the next one. That's the serf. So that's the Sutta was the fourth one, mentioning Krishna. Now there may be many more, these weren't the prominent ones mentioned. In some men probably said Krishna would kill two demons regularly in a day before taking them to Sodom. So if you add that up, I mean, there's only, it's actually only 16 mentioned in the Krishna book. Not many.
They
came a little later. That's, we could, with the question of when demons, yeah, demonic mentality, kills a certain demonic mentality. In one sense, they're demons, in one sense, they're not, they're actually demigods. They just start from their position. Number two is an unusual one. Shakatasura. Being a cart demon. He was a ghost, he came in the form of a ghost. He entered into the cart, seeing Krishna lying under the cart. He entered into the cart with the intention of crushing Krishna under the cart. Of course, that wasn't what happened. Krishna killed him by kicking the cart with his little toe, and killed him with his toe. The whole cart collapsed, but not on Krishna. So the demons are all very interesting personalities. They're no ordinary persons. So the demon I'm going to mention tonight, it was Kaliya. Kaliya is one of my favourites. And if you go to Vrindavan, there's a place called Kaliya Brother. Kaliya Ghat. Now Kaliya Ghat, the brother's not, the lake isn't there anymore. There's a bit of water there. Kaliya Ghat. Ghat's the what I made it up there. There's a bit of water in there. And the original tree, or at least the descendant of it, maybe it's the original one, is still there. The tree which was on that lake. Now, Kaliya was a very powerful demon, and it's a long story, but they will just tell a part of the story. He was residing in this lake. It wasn't actually an engine, it's a boat, ox, you know what Oxbow Lake is? They're very common in the west, and probably in India too. The river goes around, meanders like this, and sometimes it breaks through, the gap gets smaller, it breaks through, and you're left with like an arch like this, which is separated from the main stream. It becomes separated, like a backwater. So he was residing in such a backwater of the Jamuna, which is a very big one, it's about 8 miles wide. A very, very big Oxbow Lake. And he was residing there, because as you may know, he was afraid of Garuda. And this was one place that Garuda would not go. Garuda wouldn't go there. Garuda was his arch enemy. He was a powerful servant. Kaliya was the most powerful of servants. Very powerful. He's still around in Fiji, actually. He is in Fiji. So they say, Prabhupada said he was there. And that's why we have Krishna Kaliya deities in our Fiji temple. Prabhupada had them installed right in our Krishna Kaliya temple in Fiji. All the local residents say this is enormous. Many hooded serpent lives in the mountains there in Fiji. There's even some carving that looks just like a Kaliya serpent on the mountains there. So it's said to be the place that he went to. After he was banished by Krishna. So anyway, he was living there, and no other living entity could live there in that lake, even near it for miles around. Many of his cohorts were also living there in holes. There was this poisonous vapor emanating from the lake. Even if a bird flew over, the bird would drop dead. It was so poisonous. And there was like this steamy vapor everywhere. And so anyway, the cowherd boys one day, they were playing, and they were feeling tired. So, and the good of the Krishna pastimes, he covered over things at times. So they thought that they were walking, and they came into this area where this lake was. Of course, obviously it must have been yoga-mized and removed the poisonous effects immediately. They went right down to the lake, and they were tired and hungry and thirsty. So they started to drink the water from the lake, and they immediately felt what appeared to be dead, because it was so poisonous. Krishna brought them back to life by his mystic potencies. And he knew what was going on, so he thought, now's the time to do something about this. There was one tree, a Kadanga tree, which was still standing there on the bank of the lake. As someone said purposely, the Garuda left some nectar on that tree to protect it from all the poison. So the tree was still alive. Some say other reasons are there too. So anyway, whatever reason it was, Krishna climbed up onto that Kadanga tree. And then he jumped into the lake. And children love to do things like that. They climb up on a tree and jump into a lake. Isn't it? At least the boys do. I don't know if the girls may not do that. So they have different games. But all the boys used to, we all still love doing things like that. So he jumped into the lake. And Krishna jumped in. It was like an enormous tidal wave. The lake just went in every direction for hundreds of yards inland. And a huge lake. And he's a tiny little boy. But he's no ordinary boy. by his power, the lake was disrupting in every direction. Collier was living deep down. He built a city deep in that lake out of water. Now, we made that not possible. We don't know that power. He had the power to build a city, fabulous city, deep in the lake out of water. Water city. That would be interesting. But he was living down there with many of his associates and his many wives. So then he knew somebody is coming to disturb me in my lake. Who is this? He knew it wasn't Guru. He wouldn't dare come there. Guru was cursed. If he ever came there, he died. He was denied to follow that curse, but he did. So, who is this personality who dare come here? He even could come here. No one could even approach this lake. So he came up to see what it was, and he saw Krishna there on the lake. Now, there was actually an island in the lake. And the pastime, according to the commentaries, actually took place on the island in the lake. Kaliya fought with Krishna. So Krishna was there, and Kaliya saw him. He was looking at him. He had a thousand heads. As he had many eyes, he was looking at all this. Krishna was amazed. This boy is so beautiful. And this is a boy who dares come here. Now imagine how merciful Krishna was. What does a mother or father do when they want to, you know, express their love to their child? What do they do?
Hug.
Huh?
Hug.
They hug them. They grab them in their arms and hug and embrace them. Krishna allowed Kaliya to embrace him. Kaliya just grabbed Krishna in his coils and just was trying to crush him to death in the coils. And he was, in a sense, trying to kiss him, trying to bite him. Just imagine how Krishna was so merciful. For ages he was stuck in the coils of Kaliya. Kaliya was like frozen, trying to crush him to death. Couldn't do it. But in the meantime, Krishna was waiting for all the vessels of Vrindavan. They came there. Nanda and Yasoda and all the coward men came. And they were devastated. They were devastated. They could hardly... Only Balaram knew what was going on. Everyone else was terrified. They were terrified. They were convinced Krishna was going to be killed. Mother Yasoda was trying to enter into the lake to fight herself with this demon. And but they held her back. No one could go near the lake, it was poisonous. So Krishna was there, he was happy, he looked happy, but he was in the coils of... He was enjoying his pastime. He was enjoying it. In the coils of Kaliya. Eventually he realized that this is displeasure to his devotees, so he released himself, just like that, boom! All the coils just shot off, and then the fight started, the real fight Krishna was going around, Kaliya was spinning around, trying to grab Krishna with... and bite into it, take him. Krishna would jump up on top of a coil, dancing on his head, boom, 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 doing a rasa dance like that. Each one, booming, banging down the heads one after the other, pounding on the heads. He was dancing so heavily that the heads were being pounded to pieces. And Kaliya couldn't do anything about it. He was trying his level best, and Krishna would just jump onto the next one. Kaliya could do nothing. And eventually, blood was coming out of his hoods, and poison was coming out of his hoods. He had 100 prominent heads that Krishna danced on. All these things were going on. And the demon was just getting devastated. He was getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And he couldn't believe it. What's going on here? Well, who is this boy? Oh no, I'm dying. Who is this boy? And then suddenly he thought, this must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I surrender. Yes, she thought like that. At that moment, of course, Krishna then. Now, it's interesting to know that, of course, we hear in Krishna that the Nagapatnas, the wives of this demon, were at the same time on that island praying to Krishna. Please, my dear Lord, they were devotees of Krishna. So this demon, Kaliya, had very special good fortune because his wives were all devotees of Krishna. They were already devotees of Krishna. So he had great fortune. He had the fortune also of associating with Garuda, even if it was negatively. So he had great fortune. And his wives were his well-wishers. They were praying to Krishna, please release our husband from your, you know, you're going to kill him. Please don't kill him. Please let him live. Now, there's a secret behind this, which is not mentioned directly in the Krishna book. Indirectly. Mentioned the Bhagavatam. But the secret behind this is that actually the wives of Kalia had been previously praying so that their husband become a devotee. They were praying that he became a devotee of Krishna. And then when Krishna was actually dancing on his husband, killing him, because the husband didn't become a devotee, they were actually praying to Krishna to kill him. Because if he died in that state, being killed by the lotus foot of Krishna, how fortunate he would be. Then, when Kalia thought like this and surrendered, in a mood of total surrender, then they started praying. Please don't kill our husband, because now he's surrendered to you. So there are these three prayers that were going on at different stages like this. And then, because of their prayers, and because of the mood of Kalia, then Krishna didn't kill him. And he released him, and then he told him. But Kalia said, "My Lord, just whenever you think of me, I will come and serve you. I will do whatever you say." Sometimes he said that maybe when you want to go in your pastimes from Vrindavan to Mathura, if you wish, you just call me and you can ride with me. I will carry you on my back. So sometimes Kalia actually appears in Krishna's pastimes, not on this particular occasion, in other millenniums, in other places, to actually carry Krishna on his back. He's one of Krishna's chariot drivers, you can say. And, so there are many different pastimes. And very wonderful pastimes of Krishna. They're all mentioned here in the Krishna book. So please read these books. Don't just have them sitting in your bookshelves. Read them. Talk about them with your children, with your wives, husbands. Talk about them. Listen to them. Remember, this is the best topics which we can actually, let's say, discuss. And they're so funny. Some of them are so funny. There's unlimited pastimes of Krishna. This is only the tip of an iceberg here. Just to give us a taste. An entry into this unlimited world with his unlimited fun, unlimited variety. Far better than surfing on the internet. Yes. Far better. Far better than the Bengali news. Right? Far better. News of Krishna. What is the news of this world anyway? You have a newspaper here called News of the World still?
Yeah.
Sunday newspaper? Used to be. It's been around a long time. That was the rottenest of newspapers in the area. I don't know what it's like now, but it was a shocking newspaper. It was a disgusting newspaper. Even 50 years ago. Like when we used to say 50 years ago, in the 50s, we used to read this filthy newspaper. Filthy. Is it still like that?
Yeah.
We don't read it, Gore. You're missing out. I don't suppose any of you even hope. You never even look at the blooming thing you might hear about. Probably a filthy newspaper even now. The vulgar. Anyway, News of the World. This question was asked by Yamaraj, the father of Yudhishthira. Although he didn't know it was his father at the time, he was in the form of Yaksha. He asked him many questions, otherwise they were also not going to be released from that deadly lake, a lake of death, same thing, different test. So what was the question? First question, he asked about 60 or 80 questions, many questions. Two of the last ones were the famous ones. Last two out of four. One is, what is the most amazing thing in this world? That you all know, don't you? What is the most amazing thing in this world? Yesterday was the birthday of Rabindranath Tagore, was it not? Mm-hmm. What did he say the most wonderful thing in the world is? Do you know? A woman. A form of a woman. That's what he said, the most amazing thing. See how foolish he is. Total idiot. And people worship him. No idea what's going on. There's a truth in it, but it's not the real absolute truth. So, what is the most amazing thing in the world?
Everybody thinks they'll not die.
Yeah, everybody is dying around us, and we think, oh, it won't happen to me. No, not me. Why me? No, not me. And we live in a life that it'll never happen to me. That's interesting. That's a famous thing. But then he said, tell me, what are the tidings, or what are the news of this world? What is the actual news of this world? Do you know what Yudhishthira said? He said, the news of this world, you never imagine what he said, unless you know. You can read this, it's in the Mahabharata. He said, the most amazing thing in this world, he said, the news of this world, this is the news of the world. And he didn't pick up the newspaper. He didn't go to the newspaper store and buy a news of the world paper. No. He didn't talk about the cyclone in Burma, or the war in Iraq, or the election in America, or whatever else is going on in people's minds, the World Cup or something. He didn't talk about that. What did he say? He said, this world is just like a witch's cauldron. You know what a cauldron is? A big pot, which the witches do their brew. They cook their brew. It's a big cooking pot. They make their witches' brew, like a big soup. They put all sorts of things in it and make this nasty soup out of their spell. So this world is just like a cauldron, a witch's cauldron. And he said, underneath that there are the fire. The fire is like the sun. The sun. The fuel are like the days and the nights under that pond, which is being burnt by the sun. The ladles, the spoons, which are stirring that pot, I like the months and the seasons and the years and the lifetimes stirring the ingredients in that pot. And then he said, and the ingredients of that pot are all the living entities in the universe who are being cooked alive by time. That is the only news of this world. There is no other news. Correct. You've answered correctly. And then you've gone. That is the news of the world. It's happening to every single living entity from Brahma down to the smallest ant. There is no other news. Different spices may be there, different combinations may be there, but the principle is the same. Nobody is free in this world. Everyone is being cooked alive by time. Not a very pleasant thought, is it? But everybody is jumping into the pot, hoping that they will not get cooked. But it will gradually, when the heat goes up, and then burned. This is the way of getting out of this situation and news of the world. This is the real news that we have to absorb ourselves in. Otherwise, we'll be back in the pot again. In and out all the time, constantly being cooked. We don't think of it like that, but that's according to Yudhishthira of what's going on, accepted by Yamaraj himself, Dharmaraj. So let's get out of that pot. This is the secret of getting out. Hearing and chanting about Krishna, anyone else, Krishna. There's different incarnations you can also hear, of course. This is the secret, this is the process, this is the means, this is the lifeline. Prabhupada's given us a lifeline to get out of this world. Just by reading this Krishna book, Prabhupada, you can go back to Godhead in this very lifetime. Possible. This is the lifeline. Otherwise, when we're finished, this body's ending, we'll be thinking of material things, we have to come back to the material world. Again and again and again. We're thinking of Krishna, don't need to come back. Back to Godhead. So practice now, remembering Krishna, hearing about Krishna, talking about Krishna, and so on. This is the purpose of our lives, to remember Krishna and the Narayana Smriti at the time of death. If we don't practice now, it won't happen. It's not, don't worry, I'll leave it to the last moment. It's not easy like that. That's very rare. Practice now, so the thoughts now are towards Krishna. One more. Okay, it's 9 o'clock. This is Krishna books, if anyone wants another set. We've got two more here. Please take this opportunity. Maybe we should give a special discount tonight. Special £2 discount. Only if you take the set tonight. £10 tomorrow. Do you want one? The little boy at the back wants one. Mm-hmm. You have to see me. Or the bell. Anyone else? That's right. Alright. We have some water here. Yadapund. I think. Yes, it is. Do you have an empty Ashman cup or an Ashman cup I can use? With no water in it, it's small. I can't use this, it will just spill everywhere. I need a little Ashman cup so I can use a spoon. Or something I can use a spoon for. That would fail, I think. Yeah, but I need some cup to put in. So we're going to. Everyone's welcome. Take a little bit. Yadapund and Shamakun, they're both in here.